This is Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net here with a preview of the two-hour interview that I conducted with former WWE star Sean Daivari on Monday, November 28, 2011. In the clips you're about to hear, he discusses his last dark match that he worked with WWE. The Wrestling Revolution Project, All Wheels Wrestling. Sean had some things he wanted to get off his chest. I wanted to get those out there for everybody and also give you guys a taste of what this interview is like. Other topics discussed in the interview that you won't be hearing in these clips include his run with Muhammad Hassan in WWE, a very successful run that they had together, the time he spent in TNA, the reason for his departure, from Ring of Honor, and also a very interesting piece where he discusses CM Punk reaching out to him looking for advice when he was stuck with the decision of signing a WWE developmental deal or signing with TNA Wrestling. We all know how it played out, but very interesting to hear what Sean's advice was to him and much more. Two-hour interview, and Sean was an open book here. I really enjoyed the interview, and I think you will as well if you decide to sign up for .NET membership. The full interview is available exclusively to .NET members. Again, it's a two-hour interview. If you're interested in signing up, all you have to do is head on over to ProWrestling.net. Look for the sign-up area right there on the right side of your screen. You can't miss it. If you want to sign up for a month and just try this out, the cost is $7.50, and you will have ad-free access to ProWrestling.net, along with past interviews that I've conducted. Recent interviews include former ECW champion Just Incredible, former WWE wrestler Shane Hurricane Helms. I believe the Just Incredible piece went about 84 minutes, and Hurricane Helms stuck around for 2 hours as well. Past interviews include former WWE creative team member Cord Bauer, former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel, and many more. If you're hooked and you're interested in saving some money, then sign up for the annual deal, and you will save about $2 a month, because the price works out to $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. And again, you can sign up just by visiting ProWrestling.net. That's it for me. Enjoy the free preview of the Sean Daivari interview coming up right now.
We're going to go in kind of awkward order, because Sean's got a few things that he wants to address right off the top, and then we'll get into a little bit of his own history as well as we go further into it. But, Sean, I want to start. I know you've got a few irons in the fire right now. You've done a WWE SmackDown dark match, I believe it was. You worked for All Wheels Wrestling, the TNA offshoot. You left Ring of Honor, and I know you're also working for Wrestling Revolution Project. Let's start with the WWE. And is that something? Is there something that's going to come out of that? Do you expect to go back to WWE anytime soon?
I don't think anything is going to come out of that particular match I had for them whenever it was, like this summer sometime. I chit-chatted with them a little bit, and then I think when word started coming around about this All Wheels Wrestling thing, they got in touch with me and you know, were in town for a SmackDown taping, or it was actually like a whole weekend they had, you know, and I went down, I want to say for the pay-per-view, was Sunday, and then they were just like, hey, tomorrow we're doing this, like Rock was there for whatever Raw was on Monday, they're like, we're not going to get around to anything we want to, they said, just go home, come back on Tuesday, we'll put you in a match, and we want to take a look at you, and this and that, and then, you know, had the match, it went fine and everything, and then, you know, I talked to Johnny, like, yeah, I'll get back to you, I'll get back to you sometime and let you know. I'm going to watch a tape with Vince and we'll holler at you. And I never heard back from them. So I assume if anything was going to come of that, or if they had something in the back of their mind that thought could pan out, it's probably no longer an idea on the table. Because I don't think it would have taken them that long to get back to me. And usually they don't ever get back to you with bad news, just good news. So the fact that he didn't even call back makes me assume that whatever they were thinking about possibly doing either was going to happen, or maybe I failed to impress them. But from the people I talked to that day, I'm sure I don't think it was a fail to impress thing. I think it was just kind of like, we want to make sure you're not fat and out of shape and, you know, haven't been wrestling since we last seen you. Because I, not to specifically name names, but there was, you know, a talent I remember not too long ago that they hired him without even looking at him. And he showed up and was like horribly out of shape and had a terrible match and stuff. And I think at that point, they're just like, let's take a look at these guys first before we offer him anything. And there was something kicking around at that point in time. I want to say like a week before me, Shelton Benjamin had a dark match.
Yeah.
And like a week after me, Trevor Murdoch had like a dark match. So I don't know if it was something where at the time they were thinking like maybe let's take a look at some guys that, you know, just we had nothing for at the time, but we're good enough and could do something with again. And then maybe that all fell apart and they go, nah, we'll just stick with developmental guys. Or, you know, I don't know, but it was very weird that summer they kept looking at a lot of guys that had been through their doors, you know, in the last year or so prior to that.
And wasn't that, correct me if I'm wrong, was that around the same time that Osama bin Laden was killed? I think there was some speculation that the two were tied together, but it sounds like it happened.
Yeah, it was really funny. It happened that day. So I was booked for the whole loop, like a snap, what was it, pay-per-view on Sunday, Raw on Monday, and then SmackDown on Tuesday. So while I was at the pay-per-view that Sunday, I already sat down, I had my meeting with Johnny, and he was like, hey, you know, Rock's going to be in town tomorrow, so nothing's going to get accomplished other than that. Just come to SmackDown on Tuesday. And I actually left. I left the pay-per-view because I figured, you know, there was nothing for me there. And then at night, I think they announced that they killed him. So I think by the time Tuesday came around and I wrestled that dark match, people had assumed that it was because of bin Laden getting killed, they called me back. But, unless Johnny had this crystal ball that the rest of the United States didn't have, I was already booked for that match on Tuesday, like Sunday afternoon sometime before they even announced it happened.
Any frustration over Johnny not returning or calling you back to give you the update, or is it just kind of par for the course?
No, I totally understand. When I worked for him, when I was under contract there, like, you know, he was the kind of guy I answered to, and he very rarely ever returned phone calls then, so the fact that I don't work there, I'm not under contract, like, I understand. Like, he has so much shit on his plate, like, you don't know how many talents he has to watch over and how many talents are so unself-sufficient that they can't do a single thing in their life without calling the office and saying, what do I do now? What am I going to do here? Like, you know, their problem-solving skills are so small and such a finite set that they call the office about everything. So I imagine on a daily basis, he has 100 actual things to take care of, plus another 100 things about people that can't take care of themselves that are on top of them. So, yeah, I was totally par for the course. I only assumed to get a phone call back and they said, hey, whatever we're thinking is going to happen.
Sounds like you've got some of the local finest driving by.
Yeah, I'm always happier they're not pulling me over.
Yeah, no kidding. TNA, you did the All Wheels Wrestling taping. Tell me how that came about and a little bit about your character, whatever you can share.
I don't know too many details. I can tell you what happened with the pilot, and I have no idea if that's going to stay par for the course as well when the show goes to broadcast. But I was wrestling in Europe somewhere, and I got a phone call from Jeff Jarrett, and he called me up and said, hey, I got this thing cooking. Would you be free potentially later this year to do a new TV show? And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. When you get back in the States, give me a call. So I got home in like a week or two, and I called him, and we chit-chatted a bit. And then he kind of laid down the foundation of what he wanted to do, and it's more or less the World X Cup, but instead of having different countries being represented in teams, it's different genres of racing being teams, and then we compete in a predetermined point set a predetermined set of points.
Yeah.
And at the end of the season, instead of having like a quote-unquote world champion, you have a cup holder like there is in racing, you know, like they kind of did for the World X Cup. And then we went down there. We filmed the pilot. My character is Dubai, who kind of takes after the desert off-road racing that they do over there, like, you know, in the Baja California, then the Middle East and stuff. They do the off-road desert racing. So my team is going to be, like, kind of that genre of racing. And I think we're all going to be, you know, not necessarily Middle Eastern, but foreign characters where this is popular. Like, I think, like I said, in South America, they have a lot of, like, racing and that style and stuff. And that's going to be my team, and I'll be the team captain. And then, like I said, just like the World X Cup, we have these predetermined set of matches on these predetermined dates, and depending on the outcome of matches, we earn points. And at the end of like a 13 to 15 episode season, the team with the most points wins the cup for that season, and then it starts over the following year.
How does that work for a pilot like that? Do you have to commit to doing more than just the pilot?
No, sometimes you do. I mean, I don't, my experience in television is just that of pro wrestling. I know nothing about, like, you know, the real television industry. But no, the deal I did with Jeff was just a deal memo, and that was saying to cover the pilot, and should and go to series, we both have the option of participating and we both have the option of backing out. So I think it's going to series. Like I said, I don't know any more details than anyone else does, but all the conversations I've had regarding the program have, not one has been a step backwards. They've all been a step forward. So last I heard, I'm still a part of it, and I'm really looking forward to it, because I think this is going to be the most wrestling per minute of television time that's going to be on in the United States. Like, there's going to be I want to say if we have, like, a 1 hour or 2 hour program, I want to say that about 80% of it per week is going to be wrestling, which has got me really excited that this is really the only wrestling show that you're going to tune into and be able to see wrestling outside of, like, shitty ESPN and AWA classics.
Right. And are you a NASCAR or auto racing fan?
Not me personally, as far as that style. There's actually, I believe, in the last script I saw, there was supposed to be this, like, Tokyo style of racing that kind of, like, takes after the Fast and the Furious, like, tuner car stuff. That's more my cup of tea personally. All my cars that I have, I customize them, and I'm really a more fan of, like, appearance and actual racing and actual racing and competition. But yeah, like, the stuff they're going to do with that guy, I'm really excited to see. And if they give a shit about my 2 cents I have to offer, I can give them a lot of insight as far as what that character would do, the kind of, you know, outside of the arena stuff to shoot with them, the kind of cool stuff that those type of fans would be interested in seeing. And that's another plus side of it, is from what I've heard about it, they're going to keep the two entities completely separate. It's not like we're going to have, you know, NASCAR racers tagging with pro wrestlers. It's not like we're going to have racing stuff, like, you know, wrestlers coming in the ring and race cars and stuff. It's very much going to be a wrestling program, and in between matches, there's going to be a lot of cool content for automobile enthusiasts, so they can kind of get both things in one program without the two mixing up.
Well, it's interesting, too, because there's been a lot of negative feedback about the idea of, obviously, sight unseen. And to me, it's the concept, I mean, throw out the auto racing connection. If you're TNA and you can produce a program that's going to earn you what you need to be profitable in terms of just selling that television show to a network, the programming fee, to me that makes sense. You know, even if it is just an offshoot, it's not TNA, it's more revenue for that company.
Absolutely, and you have to understand that who ordered the pilot was Speed Network. So when Speed Network is looking at pro wrestling for their network, there's going to be a big question or a big disconnect is, why is there wrestling on the Speed Channel? But if they figure out this is how we can combine the two, and if you look at, say, WrestleMania 1, for example, and all the people that were in the hubbub of, you can't cross rock and roll and wrestling, you can't cross entertainment and wrestling, and at the end of the day, it was just a pro wrestling show. Like, yeah, maybe Cyndi Lauper walked in the ring with somebody, and maybe, like, Liberace did act in between matches, but top to bottom was a pro wrestling show, which is exactly what this program is. This program is very much a wrestling show. Maybe because the influence of NASCAR decides what wardrobe one of the talents is going to wear, or maybe instead of asking some mark on the street who bought a ticket, hey, who do you want to see win tonight in this match, they'll go ask somebody in a pit crew at NASCAR, who would you like to see win, this guy versus this guy in a match. But like I said, you're absolutely correct. When I was first pitched the idea of it, I was like, well, this is going to be pretty ridiculous, but it'll be, you know, whatever, it'll be fun. And then when we actually did the show, and I actually saw, like, the little bits of B-roll and stuff that they were shooting and the stuff they shot at the racetracks and stuff, I was like, oh, these are two completely separate entities, and they brought them together as much as you possibly could to make pro wrestling fit on the Speed Channel.
Have you been contacted at all about doing, TNA's doing that other offshoot, shooting a pilot for something over in India?
Yeah, I'm actually doing it. It's not even a pilot. It's a done deal. They're going to have a TV show.
Have you made the trip over there yet, or anything scheduled?
No, I leave December 14th, so I leave in 2 weeks. And then I leave in 2 weeks, and then we shoot for 2 weeks, and then I come home for 2 weeks, and we go back for 2 weeks, and that'll be the season.
Oh, wow. Is it odd to you that here you are, you know, you've had your run with TNA as Sheik Abdul-Bashir, left the company, and we'll certainly get into that a little bit later, but so you're no longer with TNA, but you're involved in their two offshoots. A little bit odd?
No, not at all. I mean, like, I was most happy there. I love my time at TNA when I was under Jeff Jarrett's book. Like, he booked me well. He paid me well. He used me in awesome programs. He took my input and advice and opinion on everything, and my career turned to dog shit there when he got pushed out the door, because with him, I lost my entire support team. You know, Jeff was the head of creative. Dutch Mantel was also on the creative team. Jim Cornette was also on the creative team and the agent there. Road Dogg was an agent there. Scott D'Amore was an agent there. All these guys were big fans of my work, big fans of what I brought to the table. And then once Jeff got pushed out the door, one by one, his guys went with him. And Dutch disappeared, then Cornette disappeared, then Road Dogg disappeared. And then all of a sudden, there's a whole new infrastructure there that, on the top of it, I never thought Vince Russo thought too much of me. He always thought my character was too dated in 280s and doesn't work in the 2000s. So from the top down, when he really saw no time to invest in me, then, you know, his agents below him, Ed Ferrara came in as a writer below him, and then Cornette and Road Dogg were gone, and D'Lo and Simon Diamond came back, and, like, if from the top down, no one's barking to them, hey, take care of this guy, protect this guy, it's not really in their prerogative to do so, they do what their boss tells them, so it just kind of all fell apart for me, and that's when it kind of was no longer a good fit. But both this India project and All Wheels Wrestling project are very much on top of it, being handled by Dixie and Jeff, and both Dixie and Jeff, I think, always liked me, because anytime stuff like this comes up, usually, I mean, still they say, I mean, they can say it to everybody, but for both of these things, when they call me, they both said that, you know, you were the first guy we called.
Oh, wow. And so,
yeah. Then again, I mean, they could just say that to everybody to make the conversation be a lot more pleasing, I don't know, but
sure.
That's what I was told.
Well, like I said, we'll get back to the TNA stuff in a little bit, but you ended up going to work briefly for Ring of Honor. What was that experience like, and what led to your departure?
Ring of Honor was the main reason that I wrapped up with TNA, was because Adam Pearce at the time was booking it. I've known Adam for years, and then Cornette was back in there. And again, Cornette was someone who, he loved me and used me well in OVW. He loved me and used me well in TNA. So Adam, a guy I knew for years, and Cornette was another guy who I knew was a backer of mine. When I was like, hey, if I get out of TNA, would you guys be able to book me and use me? And Adam, who was like their head booker at the time, emailed me and was like, I will book you on every show that week. I'll put you on every TV, every pay-per-view, and every house show if you become available. So I was like, sure, I'm done deal. So I washed my hands of TNA, and I started with Ring of Honor, which I 110% believe that was Adam and Cornette's intentions. But just unfortunately for me, right when I got there, everything started downsizing, from the number of fly-ins they had to do. Like, I remember one time Adam showed me a budget for a show, and he had his budget slashed three times from when they booked the show to when the actual show happened. And then, of course, you know, I was kind of a higher-paid guy. Plus, I lived in Texas, so, like, I was a fly-in to every show they did, plus a hotel. And, you know, and I was just kind of a pretty expensive talent for my spot in the card, which was kind of a bottom card, middle card guy. So for them to say, per event, you're a larger financial investment than potentially one of our main event talents that night, it kind of didn't make a lot of sense. And then as Adam's budget kept getting cut and cut and cut, he left me off more and more shows, and eventually got to the point where I was like, fuck, this is a part-time job. And then the writing was on the wall, and then a couple months later, I wrapped up, and then like 2 weeks later, Adam was fired, and then like 2 weeks later, the company was sold, so it was just really bad timing. I love working there. I thought it was a really, really good product, and had I got there maybe a year earlier, everything would have fell into place a little bit better, but unfortunately, not decisions were made, financial commitments were cut prior, like right at the time that they came in, and I just was unfortunately a casualty of business at that point.
Is that something you will re-explore now that, you know, the company has been sold and Jim Cornette's gained a lot of power in that company?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it was going to happen. Like I said, Cornette, I always believed, was a fan of mine, and I think if that was in the cards for me, he would have called by now. And I have other stuff going on. I would totally be happy to if there was, you know, a spot for me on the show. I would 110% you know, explore the option of going back there if they could beat the money that TNA is putting on the table. But I don't. I think it would have happened by now. And also, I know Cornette's one of the biggest advocator of creating new talents and creating new stars. So again, if you look at it from a dollars and cents point of view, it's like, why would they pump money into someone like me who might potentially be somewhat already established, when he could start from ground zero and find somebody and, you know, the payroll he can get to me for 1 year, he might be able to stretch over two or three for them, and then eventually see if they work out. If they work out, then renegotiate their money. If they don't work out, cut their losses without pumping out a ton of money into it.
And now you've hooked up with the Wrestling Revolution Project on top of the TNA offshoots as well. A full season taped in California. What's your character's name and background? I know that's something kind of unique about this promotion. Regardless of your background, regardless if you've been on WWE television, it sounds like Jeff Katz is creating whole new characters for everyone.
Yeah, he did. So the concept, people don't know what it is. It's just an on-demand television program. He doesn't think the current television formula works for wrestling. He thinks 52 weeks is too long, and he thinks the outlet of getting it is kind of spreading thin. So he created this universe, more or less, that was 12 to 15 weeks long. I don't know exactly what it breaks out to be. And it's only going to be available on demand. It doesn't have a network. But I want to say, the last time I spoke with him, he's going to have weekly distribution on Netflix, and he's going to have weekly distribution on Hulu, and maybe a couple other, YouTube, I think, was another one, where fans can just catch this online every week instead of tuning into a network. And, he comes from a Hollywood, actually his background is WCW, but from WCW he moved on to, Hollywood and New Line Cinemas, and also he writes comic books. And in those worlds, like, for example, Batman is a character who has a million different universes that he could potentially live in, but the kind of core character always stays the same. And that's what he's kind of created in this show, is that we're all wrestlers, but MVP is not MVP. MVP is Lord of War. And I'm not Sean Daivari, I'm Frank Gotch. And we're these different characters, and as the season's over, next season we could start again, same character, but the circumstances surrounding us, who we're in a feud with, who we're not in a feud with, the entire story can be brand new all over again. And that's kind of what he wants to do, to keep things from getting stale. And he's absolutely correct in that when you're writing 52 weeks of television a year, it's impossible for stuff to not get redundant. Like, that thing that happened with CM Punk a few months ago was like the hottest thing going, and already it's kind of ran its course. And I don't want to say it ran its course, but it's no longer like the hottest thing catching attention and going. And same with the Nexus thing, and same with, a few other deals where they're so hot, but they just kind of run indefinitely, and then eventually it's not so hot anymore. And I kind of relate it to Wrestling Revolution Project. Reminds me a lot of Triple H and Undertaker's feud at last year's WrestleMania, who I think everybody thought was extremely entertaining, where two characters who were already established in this universe, they just showed up on the same day, they started a program, it was X many weeks long, and then it just wrapped up and they were both done. After it was over, Triple H didn't go on for another 50 weeks of a bunch of stuff, and Undertaker didn't go on for another 50 weeks with a bunch of stuff. They just showed up, did great television, and then when it was done, it was done. And that was it. And I thought it was very well done. It never drug on too long. It was like the most bang for your buck you could get with those two characters. And it was a very, very short period of time. It might have been approximately the same time as the season, like 10 weeks or something.